Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of TaxPlanIQ Software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. Let's go, y'all. Hey there, I'm Dr. Jackie Meyer, CPA, and welcome to the Concierge CPA podcast. Before we dive in, here's something exciting. TaxPlanIQ users are saving their clients an average of $40,000 in taxes per taxpayer while selling large tax plans. TaxPlanIQ is the ultimate resource for tax advisors. With nearly 500 firms on board, we're helping advisors build skills, grow confidence, and connect with a vibrant community. Want to learn more? Visit taxplaniq.com/podcast for exclusive discounts, resources, and other things mentioned in this episode. Now let's jump in. Welcome, welcome. It is really nice to finally have my friend Brandon Ajay here. We met originally many years ago at AICPA Engage, and then we reconnected this summer at Universal GrowCon Conference. And he's an avid tax advisor, IRS a rep for taxpayers, which we'll get into today, and then a wonderful TaxPlanIQ user and advocate for all that we do there. So he's a very strong voice in the accounting profession, and he is really key in a lot of what seems like important discussions with the AICPA. So I definitely want to dive into that today too. But his journey has been really impressive, from Big Four to FEMA supporter and founding, is it two firms or more? I don't know. We'll get into all of it too. Okay. Yeah. Lots going on entrepreneurial wise. So welcome, Brandon. It's so nice to have you.
Oh, Jackie, it's so wonderful to be here. And thank you for having me again. Like you said, long time coming, but I'm glad we finally got a chance to sit together.
For sure. For sure. Brandon's been dealing with my summer schedule, which, as some of you know, I try to take off a month in the summer with my family. We started that 4 or 5 years ago as a huge goal when I was still running my firm. And it causes a few hiccups, especially when you get stuck in Miami on the way back from Bahamas. And so I'm like, if I look tired, Brandon was so sweet. He said I look great after my trip. And I'm like, I look awful because we were stuck in Miami, but thank you. But yeah, so we're home now. It's so nice to be in my own bed. And, you know, I'm really, really glad to be having this interview. So Brandon, tell us a little bit more about you and your background, you know, kind of plug in the details of what I didn't say.
Sure. So back with me, I actually started off in my first job was Enron. I started off I was hired by Enron. I was going to be a 2-year rotational intern straight out of my university. Had a chance to meet Ken Lay, you know, the whole deal. You know, this is like 1999 going into 2000. And, you know, obviously that didn't work out. So I ended up changing. I ended up changing my major to I finished my finance degree, but I ended up getting a chance to work at Merrill Lynch a little bit. Also as an intern. And Merrill, I met a lot of wealthy folks. And then the ones that I would ask, because I was very inquisitive, the ones that I would ask, you know, how did you really build this capital? The ones that answered, 45% of them said they used to work at a public accounting firm. So either Deloitte or Cooper's Library at the time. And I said, you know, well, being a investment banker is where the money's at. Why would you go, you know, go into that accounting? And they said, you know, well, Brandon, accounting is a language of business. And in order to be fluent in that language, you got to work at a place that speaks it daily so you can learn what to do and what not to do to keep more of the money that you make. And I said, man, that made a lot of sense. Drove me back to go get my master's in accountancy, went to the CPA and started with Deloitte. And my first job was actually, my first client was what was left of Enron, which was changed to Prisma Energy and all that.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Full circle, yeah. So that was like 2005. And so it, you know, I learned a lot on that engagement. And then at Deloitte, you got a chance to do a smorgasbord, either the same client from intern to partner or a smorgasbord of clients. And I got a chance to do a smorgasbord and did, I was industry agnostic and learned a lot of M&A, and I carried that through my career in public accounting and ultimately with PwC, a lot of M&A problem solving things well beyond just doing audit and planning and tax audit plan and all that. Just a lot of meat and potato relationship management things that were like they don't teach you in school. And so that gave me a chance to have favor with partners and favor with a lot of great folks and just see how things work And that ultimately led me into consulting. I did that with Siegfried, which is a great firm out of Delaware. I don't know if you've ever been to Wilmington, Delaware.
No.
everything shuts down at 6 p.m.
Oh, okay. Similar to Provo, Utah, where we work for growth.
Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, that was, I think Bob Siegfried started Siegfried and accounting consultants. And basically the idea was to be Navy SEALs, go solve problems. And we had projects like, for example, U.S. Foods and Cisco was getting married up. And we had the same legal team that Delta and Northwest had, I think back in 2013, we were helping them with that. Obviously it didn't, you know, FTC didn't approve it, but we did a lot of grunt work to help make that type of M&A happen. But I mean, that led me to a lot of things. And ultimately, you know, I went into getting a 9-to-5, became an assistant controller with Texas Heart Institute, which was a great experience until Dr. Denton Cooley, who was, you know, very well-renowned heart surgeon, had passed away. I mean, we helped develop a lot of things that makes, you know, a lot of people use that like Prilosec and other things like that.
So oh, it was just, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was, I was around a lot of affluent people like Faiz Serafim, who was the second largest shareholder of Kinder Morgan. You know, this guy was a billionaire. Like, he was on the board. There were a lot of people that, you know, the Bush family, there a lot of affluent people that were on the board. So I got a chance to be around these people. And I had to present to them because they wanted to make sure that money that was being entrusted to the Institute was being going to the right places. So being around them gave me a chance to just be comfortable, even more comfortable with anyone. I treat everybody the same. They're a janitor, CEO. And I just, my grandfather told me to, you know, be that way, just be genuine. So that's usually what I try to exercise.
That's awesome. Okay. Wow. That's a really, really amazing history of experience. So you're based out of Houston. I know you and your family travel a bunch and you have clients, US and international. What kind of challenges do you see with people that are, you know, overseas or whatnot with their accounting needs?
Great question. Once they get beyond the time zone deal, it's more making sure there's a standardization, because a lot of folks are outside the U.S. and they're trying to do things inside the U.S. to expand their operations. And that standardization, being able to, you know, like if you go to McDonald's over in California, it's going to be like the McDonald's in Texas, like the McDonald's in London, you know, like that's what the hope, some sort of consistency. And so the great movie Founder that really talks about consistency. So folks who are branching out overseas, who are trying to grow their arms here to the States, consistency is kind of like one of their biggest tours that they look for, characteristics, and when they're looking for a partner, and they want somebody that's going to help them with that. There's a number of folks that at the same time, let's say in South Africa or UK, a lot of things are just in a way because of IFRS, or just International Financial Accounting Standards Board, like a lot of those things are becoming, and it makes sense, you know, to be globalized, especially when people can sleep here, somebody else is working there and vice versa. So it helps with efficiency. So that's been a big thing to overcome, become proficient with is consistency. Again, getting, not being afraid to start, like you, who I love and applaud. You have such tenacity and you have a lot of like you follow up, you execute, you know, you follow through. A lot of people, you know, something money can't buy, something you can't really teach. Just it's really a free will choice. A lot of people don't have that, and you do. But when you see if somebody has that type of drive, you can work with that person. It's if y'all are like minded, and that's really why we're really selective with even who we work with. We look for somebody that has drive. We look somebody that has some sort of wherewithal. To not just the bandwidth, but the wherewithal to follow through, to push, to think things through. And if they don't know the answer, they're trying to work with you on how to find the answer. They've gotten their why already answered. You know, there's a famous speaker, Jim Rohn, who likes to ask three questions. You know, why not you, and why not now? You know, like those are the three questions you want to be able to answer with whatever you are pursuing, you know, to improve yourself, that self-development, self-improvement. So that's, you know, part of it as well, because people can learn accounting, they can learn finance, you know, they can, but some things their heart is wherever their heart is.
For sure. Yeah. Do you deal with a lot of residency issues or people being in, you know, like where is their true residency? What's that 183 day rule, that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. So folks like, so a long time ago, well, I still have it actually. So there's certain universities that we have an agreement with, for example, Notre Dame. We would, if their students made above a certain amount, you know, VITA would take care of it. Vital make take care of it, the tax return or whatever the tax compliance would have been if they make under a certain amount. But if they went above that threshold, they had worked with a number of CPA practices throughout the country that they would just forward students to. And so we had an agreement. Yeah. So we had an agreement with ND and Notre Dame, and that was pretty wonderful. Because basically we just do what's called a 1040 NR, so non-residency. And so it's amazing, you know, students, you know, they're able to pay for the school and they're able to invest, you know, like they buy real estate or investments or whatnot. And that we have worked with a lot. I'm actually with the IRS in that capacity for dealing with non-resident returns as well as I-10s, International Nice. Taxpayer ID number. So I'm a CAA with the IRS, like a certifying acceptance agent. So I can like, I had to go through FBI training and a lot of other things to be able to get the certification. But basically, we can go, people can come to us and we can help them. It's not immigration. It's not like citizenship, but it's like they get a I-10 number, which allows them to get a tax return, which allows them to open up a bank account, allows them to start a business. And honestly, a lot of folks who have been entrepreneurial, like really, really dedicated and diligent, have a lot of them has come from out of the country. A lot of them has come, you know, as immigrants and they are like love to be here and they want to do things the right way. You know?
Yeah. So, wow, man, I would love to unpack that more. Maybe we could do another episode on that. Because with the, you know, our current climate, it's a little weird for, you know, students in particular, but international students. So I would love to hear more thoughts and, you know, how you feel about all that. But yeah, not enough time for today. So moving on. So you were kind of in the middle of the Hurricane Harvey situation, yes. You, I believe we talked about this a little bit, that you were doing pro bono services. Tell us a little bit about that experience and how that's kind of shaped you.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that happened in 2017. And that was really that year, 2017, is when I first went full time with the practice. I have been doing it for a few months. But it was more for, you know, folks that for specific need, like really surgical, acute stuff. What happened with that during Harvey, I lost my own office. My first office got flooded out, you know, the whole shebang. Three things came out of that. It taught us to be paperless. It taught us to be able to connect with people remotely and be able to just have different processes augmented and whatnot and being flexible. And then it also gave us an opportunity to start a tax practice, because our main thing was resolution work. That's what I started off with, was IRS resolution work. But we knew how to do taxes, and a lot of people who have resolution work, they sometimes require tax compliance as well. So with Harvey, we were requested by the IRS, amongst a few people, to help do some pro bono things at these FEMA DRCs, disaster relief centers. That gave us a big tent, like bigger than a football field, that housed FEMA, SBA, psychiatrists, a lot of professionals, including the IRS and then us. So if somebody could not get a FEMA claim or a grant or an SBA loan because of an IRS issue, that's where we were coming in pro bono. And we thought this was just going to be for like a couple of weeks. And I ended up doing that from October 2017 to February 2018. And that you know, but it was all pro bono, had no idea. You know, like, again, you know, we IRS, we do power of attorney, we would get the tax records, we would do the taxes there, help them go get the FEMA grant, their application or the FEMA loan or the FEMA, the FEMA grant and then the SBA loan. We helped with all that, which was a lot of work. And I thought, you know, like, God, why am I even doing all this? It was, you know, pretty far driving all the rest. My own FEMA grant got denied, you know, it really was kind of a hard time. But at the end of it, a lot of these people came back and said, hey, can you actually do our taxes for the year 2017 or for the year 2018? And I was like, wait, you know, so it started it was a lot of people came back. And I said, you know what? You know, I met these people and I just ended up doing a tax compliance practice as well. So not just the resolution, had to branch out. And so, but again, because of Harvey, we were prepared for COVID, for the pandemic. Uh-huh. We were already paperless. We were already working with people. And not all these people, some of these people left Houston. They said, we don't want to be dealing with the flood anymore. And they ended up going to this state or this city, or that city. And some of them also moved out of the country. And so that also helped us expand our name and our reach. And then they would tell other people about us. So a lot of word of mouth came in. And so that helped out just really organically, you know, which was
yeah, amazing. That's really neat. That's like a great example of your purposeful work, you know, giving back to the community and whatnot, even though it stretched you way beyond what you ever anticipated, right? Yeah. But like people saw that. And when you're in your purpose, people want to be more around people like that. And so they kind of like naturally gravitated back towards you. And you're blessed, like, in the end from it. So that's really neat.
Hey, it's Dr. Jackie. Are you enjoying today's episode? If you are, here's how you can support the podcast. Like, share, and subscribe to the Concierge CPA podcast to help us reach even more listeners. Continue the discussion and connect with other accounting professionals in the Accounting Firm Influencers Facebook group or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Now, talking about IRS resolution work, a lot of accountants really shy away from it. I know for me personally, I worked with high net wealth. We would collect a POA as soon as we engaged a client so that we could automatically do everything, which I recommend for anyone. But like we had two audits in the 12 years of my CPA firm, which was, you know, quite the blessing. And, you know, they went pretty easy, but I didn't want to do resolution work otherwise. Yeah. If someone's questioning, like, why should I do this? What are the positives like and whatnot? You know, you've really leaned into it. So what would you tell them?
So for them to find out, you know, things they might be doing already, a lot of people may be doing resolution work and they don't realize it. If they ever gotten a client on a simple, let's say, installment agreement, like that's resolution work. You know, a lot of people, they do that and say, oh, let me just help this client out. But it's like, you know, you realize that's nothing to do with tax, you know, compliance. Like an installment agreement, this is a tax matter, a tax debt, at the bare minimum, right? Or a penalty abatement. That's which can be really simplistic or can be very complex depending on the type of penalty or whatnot. But penalty abatements are something that help add value to that client. It's definitely a different revenue stream, different service. But sometimes people, they do these things. I talk to a lot of EAs and some CPAs, they're doing that. And they're like, okay, are you charging for that? Do you have an engagement letter on that? Because, you know, that person is in trouble. This is not a tax return. This person hired you to do a tax return and, you know, now you're doing something else. It's opening up the eyes. It's kind of like changing their perspective. And when they see that, then, you know, obviously it gets more complex to where you're actually doing tax court or just like, you know, seven figure up type of IRS related issues. And we have folks that we collaborate with to make that happen. But at the same time, you know, at the bare minimum, it's something like it could add value to that client. The practitioner can get, you know, paid for what they're doing for adding that value. And it just opens up another revenue stream. I mean, installment agreements, you know, can be fairly simple. But if you're just saying, hey, this client owes a five-figure amount or a six-figure amount, but you don't have to pay that today because you've communicated with the IRS, you represent it, and you do it properly to where you can add value. And then you can lean into tax planning and do tax planning prospectively to help them get into a refund position where the refund goes to pay for the debt as opposed to like that person having a capital outlay. And you're strategic, and it's just, you know, so we look at it as past, present, and future. So we help on the past with the resolution side, and things of that variety, and then present with accounting, payroll, things of that variety, tax compliance, and then on the prospective side, on the future, tax planning and tax advisory, you know, services. So that's how we do it in a nutshell, but it's just opening up people, like, you know, expanding your reach, like it. You know, if you're able to do a push-up, you're probably able to do a crunch. You're probably able to do a pull-up. You know, it's just you're exercising. You're doing exercise, but just realize you're able to do more than just one thing, you know? So
yeah, I love that. I didn't even think about it that way. And you're right. And I would roll that work into the other work I was doing for clients. But I'm like such a huge advocate of making sure that you price and do tax planning engagements separately. And it's the same thing, right? And it's just separate engagements. You have to always reassess. So I bet that brings a lot of interesting thoughts to some of our listeners to be like, maybe I need to reassess this. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they do, because, you know, you've got a cash net on the other side of the boat. You really got to realize it's a big ocean. And people, I hear a lot of folks who are practitioners who say, you know, Brandon, man, I had to take a loan to be able to pay my bills for the third and fourth quarter of the year, you know, but yeah, because you're only dealing with tax compliance and there's a, you know, seasonality with it. You got, if you don't have an evergreen client, and some people like to call it somebody that's paying you monthly or some sort of subscription model, you know, you got to be able to offer things year round. You can't just like tax compliance. I look at it as this is like your, when like a baby stuff, that this is what you, not I shouldn't say baby stuff, but this is what you're doing when you are, you can get sucked into that whole world and just do tax compliance, but that's one thing. How many fingers do you have on hand? Most people have five. So, you know, all of them serve a purpose, you know, I mean, and without the thumb, you know, really are missing a lot of things. So it's just, you have you're already doing work. You're already doing something. Use all your fingers. That's all I'm saying. So like tax compliance, you know, resolution, planning is just expanding. Don't be timid about it. Don't shy away from it. You know, investigate it, you know, obviously have some goals, but investigate it and see what's going to work for you. See what you're comfortable with and just, you know, give it a shot, you know, and work with people who can help mentor you and whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That reminds me of my friend, Angie Tony. She runs a really great coaching group around how to get into IRS representation. So shout out to Angie. If anyone needs that kind of training. Yeah. Okay. So our time is going so quickly, but I have lots more questions. So let's try to kind of run through them here. Let's circle back. I mean, I started kind of unloading all my thoughts as a visionary on you when we were at GrowCon about the future of the profession, trying to work with the AICPA. You've been a great connector to, you know, get connected better with the Personal Financial Service Division, which I always mess up the name, whatever. But how did you get so ingrained with the AICPA? I mean, you seem like a pretty like high up there kind of dude when it comes to knowing all the people there.
Thank you, love. It's basically I'm outgoing. You know, a guy told me this. Maybe this will be a hint. One of the wealthy person told me this. He said, if you are shy, you're broke. If you're a little bit shy, you're a little bit broke. If you're no shy, you're no broke. So this, oh my God, I never forgot that. This guy from Lebanon or something, I think he told me that. And I just, wow, you know, so I just, you know, I'm never shy. I'll try to go to the top when I can. If I can't find the top, I'll go to the back door. I'll go to the side, whatever. And I've gotten to the point where I've been, you know, the AICPA is very gracious. They're a great team of people. Everybody who's administering there on a personal financial specialist side, that whole dynamic is for folks that are doing tax advisory, tax planning services, and they do it in a holistic way that is just, my God, Tom Tillery, Dan, I mean, these folks, Mrs. Tillery, his wife, I mean, it's just so many people that have an arm in this whole space, and they work with people that are, you know, high net worth, but then ultra high net worth, right? And it's like you can apply a lot of these same principles in a way that's compartmentalized for folks that maybe not be ultra high net worth, but maybe they're seven figure earners or high six figure earners or just people that are just really looking to see, hey, you can build wealth through tax planning. Like you can, I mean, some people they just live for refunds and they spend it. But it's like, you don't have to have that situation. You can have a situation where you're meeting your taxable, complex compliance obligations, but at the same time, meeting your financial obligations and just create wealth through that. With the AICPA, they're very open arms. You know, a lot of folks are very friendly, and being able to work with them, there's formal capacities where there are like exams and, you know, different arms of, you know, the AICPA, the PFS is one of them. But as you delve into it, you're able to expand your reach, make yourself known, and just become active and involved. It's like people can go to church and just look at the preacher, or they can go to school and just look at the professor, or you can, like, you know, volunteer to do this, volunteer to do that. I've been doing a lot of volunteering since I was probably under the age of 10. So wow. I started volunteering a lot, even with the AICPA, and that's led me to also have opportunities to meet people and do things as well. I do a lot of volunteer, that whole volunteer deal, even with FEMA and IRS. I mean, I don't do that much anymore, where not that to that extent, but I still do a lot of volunteering every year, and whatever I can do, that's just led some networking opportunities for me, and I get involved and I do whatever I can to raise my hand and say I'm here.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I'm not as connected as you are, but being volunteering for committees was a great way to really be like closer to particular people and then get to know the people running the committees that work at the AICPA. So that's kind of, I think, a first step that I would recommend. But I love what you're saying in general, like just start talking to people, right? Like, just get yourself out there. They don't know that you have an interest in XYZ, right? They don't, and they're looking for people to help, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, you know, one thing I can tell you, I mean, I have a finance background and an accounting background. A lot of the finance people were very, very fun. And a lot of the accounting folks, you know, not so much. I got to be honest. So
that's like, I went to my friend Anton Anderson's Elite Resource Conference last summer, and it's all mostly financial advisors. Yeah. Everyone I passed is smiling, like, hey, how are you, making eye contact. I'm like, this is the nicest conference I've ever been to. Then I go to like a normal accounting conference, it's like night and day, right? So, accountants have such a good heart too. They're just such extreme introverts sometimes, right?
Yeah. So we got to break that out. We got to, you know, help them de-shell that whenever we can. I mean, because you got some folks, and even on, even honestly, like even, and I did mostly audit, but because I did consulting, I got a chance to see, work with tax folks as well when I was in the public accounting realm. And audit side was all, I mean, honestly, audit side usually made more than the other departments by far. But the audit folks would usually be a bit more lively than the tax folks. And so, you know, a lot of times in the day, you meet people, you see how they are, and you just see how you're comfortable with, and you can, if they feel genuine with you, you can be genuine with them. That's the best, you know, that's always
for sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Let's switch gears a little bit, because you gave me a lot of feedback about Taxman IQ, which I love, because a lot of users don't necessarily have the ability to like clearly communicate what they need, what they like, what they don't like, that kind of thing. Tell our listeners, like, summarize to them what you would say Taxman IQ is and how does it help you?
Yeah. Taxman IQ is a gateway for you to accomplish a lot more than what you think you were able to. It expands your capacity. It's a gateway to new revenue streams. It gives intelligence, helps you look like the smartest person in the room, even if you may not be.
It might right.
be the case. I mean, it has the tools that it has. It's so well thought out. Taxman IQ, basically, if you can imagine Jarvis from, and I'm giving a Marvel reference
Jarvis. Yeah.
Yeah. You can imagine Jarvis from Iron Man. That's one thing that helped Tony Stark. You know, I mean, it wasn't like just Tony had all these great ideas, and Tony was smart, but Jarvis helped solve a lot of the problems for him. And you know, so basically this is Jarvis, and you already are smart as a, you know, listener, you're listening to this tune, this podcast with this great young lady and this gentleman. but it's like the fact that you're even in the realm of considering Tax Planet, if you needed some sort of helpmate, so to speak, this TaxPlan IQ is going to be that helpmate, because it's loaded with so much content in a way that's easily digestible, that's going to have a visual experience that's easy on the eyes for the, not just you as a practitioner, but for the client or the prospect. And uh-huh. it's going to put together some nice visuals that's going to help in a way that's, you know, again, palatable for the ear and their budget. And it helps you even budget, which is a lot of great tools out here in the world, like even, you know, like easy, like the e-money and other things like that, but they don't necessarily help you like price something. And uh-huh. and being able to have a justification for a price, that is huge. That is huge, because a lot of people can be paying more than what, you know, than what a tax return would cost. But in the end, it's going to be adding value that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get. And it helps you be able to open doors for them that they wouldn't know they have access to as you're being their trusted advisor. So Explain IQ is just phenomenal.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. Well said. And it reminds me, we have, well, I can't release it publicly yet, but we have a pretty big kind of enterprise deal that's coming through with TaxFund IQ. And in the last 2 years, we've, the AICPA and other sources have confirmed that like one tax planning client can be about 22 times the revenue of a tax prep client. And this big enterprise deal we're working with, they just did a study and they found it was 25 times. So it just keeps going up. I mean, it just keeps going up. But here's the thing is like the clients want it. They appreciate it because they're getting that return on investment. They want to pay 25 times more because they're getting the ROI out of it. That's what the clients want.
The ROI.
Yes, exactly.
There. And so I can tell you, we have a client that we, for example, we had a client that we started TaxPlan IQ with, our first client of TaxPlan IQ back in December. This guy, he ended up saving, so far this year, he's saving about 300 grand in just like taxable income. And then just from the plans that have been implemented from TaxPlan IQ. But separate from that, we were able to utilize TaxPlan IQ's resources to just identify other areas. I mean, he's resulted in a couple of referrals, and these people may not be making as much as that guy, but the fact that they are referrals, I didn't have to go like market and find this person. And then when they see the visuals, regardless of them not knowing me or what I'm about, they know some of my resume, but they see what's presented to them and the way that it's effective. They're like, they trust it. They trust the process because there is a process. There's an actual end date at the start. There's a middle and there's an end, and it's effective, and it gives a lot of opportunities to keep the reiteration of your value that you add, especially when you have follow-up meetings with clients after the initial plan is designed and implemented, just the implementation and the execution. So TaxPlan IQ keeps you accountable, you know, for that. So it's a great tool. Yeah. Phenomenal tool.
Awesome. Yeah. Well said. Okay, I'm going to do a few rapid fire questions because they're just a lot of fun. And then we're going to wrap up for today. So let me pull up my little list here. Okay, are you ready?
I am ready. Yeah, these one word responses or no?
No, not necessarily. Just quick off the top of your head response.
Gotcha.
All right. Most underrated tax tip for entrepreneurs?
Depreciation, utilizing depreciation.
Okay. Yeah. And we've got some big, you know, extended things coming out with the big, beautiful bill, 100% bonus, extended 179. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do there. So yeah, that's a great place to start. Okay. Book every founder should read.
Goodness, there's a couple. Oh my goodness.
Tell me both.
Okay. As I think of, because the great, you know, as a man, think of that old oldie but goodie book, and then How the Mighty Fall. That one is a book about how to overcome challenges when things don't work out. How the Mighty Fall. I can text you the author, but it's an old book, but it's a great book. But as a man think of, and then How the Mighty Fall.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. What is a tool you can't live without?
I would say Siri, but I'd say TaxPlan IQ.
Oh, thank you. No, I wasn't trying to lead you down that direction, but yeah. Siri, so I was impressed. I was driving home for this interview, and I had like 10 new text messages. I'm like, Siri, read me my text messages. She got through it so quickly. And then she's like, done. I'm like, yes, we're finally getting more direct and quick and concise here. I love it. Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Now this is one word to describe accounting profession in 10 years.
One word?
Yeah.
Give me a compound word. Futuristic income.
Okay.
The hyphenated words, compound.
Okay, awesome. So any final words of advice or whatnot? Most of our listeners are accountants and entrepreneurs. Anything we didn't discuss that you want to throw out there?
Definitely. I think everybody should explore ways to expand their self-improvement. You're out here. Don't get caught up in the humdrum of what you're doing. Find a inspiration, find your why. And then if you want to expand upon that why, after you got your inspiration, like, why not do something more than what you're doing? If you've been doing the same thing for a period of time, 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, if you want to grow that, look into why not growing it. Like what's going to be the worst that could happen, right? Like, you like try something new, right? And then why not now? Why not now? Now is going to be the best time. Tomorrow's are not always promised. So, but if you're able to have something that you're able to accomplish more, it's going to help not only you, but your family, your legacy, whoever in your life. You never know. Like me, we had a situation where my mother-in-law had been misdiagnosed, had to be treated for a very traumatic, serious health issue, and we had to go live in another country. Because she was there in South Africa, we had to go live there and paying the hospital bills, paying this, paying that, and it's different over there because like you have to pay the bill or they discharge the patient, you know. So regardless of how serious it is, it's not like, you know, 90% is covered or 80% is covered by insurance over here, and you got 20% copay and all that. No, over there is like outside of the U.S. has very great health stuff. Whoever can get it, but outside the U.S. is not so great. So. Accounting profession, like just being in the business, being an entrepreneur, allowed me to take my family out of the country, buy an apartment, like live in an apartment, pay for that for a long extended period of time, help pay for the medical bills, and still get work done here. So it really was full circle, like because of Harvey becoming paperless and remote, you know, being prepared for pandemic and COVID and all that. But being able in 2022, we were able to do that. And you know, I never thought I'd be able to work in another country like that. And it's actually inspired me to just want to be working in the U.S. a couple of quarters, like one or two quarters, and then living in outside the U.S. and then living in the U.S. the other portion. So take a month off, something like that. But this profession allows you to do whatever you want. It's just how much you're going to put into it. But you got to do more than what you're doing now. You got to grow.
Yeah. Oh, that's great advice. Yeah. It reminds me of the saying that kind of, it's an old saying, but it's been stuck in my head lately. You know, the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago, the second best time today. And then who knows, you know, you might not have tomorrow. Right. So yeah.
Right.
Awesome advice.
I appreciate this time so much. I tell you, my grandfather, he told me, you know, you need to have as many sources of income as you have fingers. Like, if you can find a way to do that, Brandon, you'll never be broke. So I said, wow. You know,
what a wise man. You've quoted him several times already.
Oh my God. Yeah. And he was a Tuskegee Airman, like my grandfather. So that just, you know, my God, I didn't even know he even had permission to do something else other than have one source of income. But when I found that, I was like, wow, I'm going to do it however that can.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's really, really inspirational for sure. What is the best way for people to reach out to you if they want to stay in touch?
Yeah. So we've got a website right now. We're working on a newer one, but the website right now is basically cpa-asap.com. It's a secure website. So that's one way you can get at us. Info@bargraphsolutions is plural. info@bargraphsolutions.com. And I'm on LinkedIn as well. I'm on LinkedIn and some of our team members are. So, we're
here. I'm going to take credit for your LinkedIn activity because you are falling off. And I'm like, you got to get back on LinkedIn. And I've seen you picking up there.
Yes. Thank you very much. Oh my God. I tell you, I've been lazy. I had to grow. And thanks for helping me grow.
There you go. Awesome. Okay. Well, Brandon, this was so much fun. I really appreciate your time and wisdom, and hopefully we can do it again and kind of deep dive more into the future of the profession and The political environment. I mean, there's so much to talk about internationally that you can probably bring so much to the table for. So thank you so much.
I'll tell you this, I'll let you go. A few weeks ago, I got a chance to have a sit down with former Commissioner Chuck Reddick. IRS. I got a chance to have a sit down with this guy a few weeks ago, had a lovely conversation. So I definitely would love to like have some follow up with you. Cause I got a chance to pick his brain on some of those things as well. And that was, and it was just like, just him and me. It wasn't a podcast, nothing. We just were got a chance.
Yeah. To, yeah. What would be like a very like simple summary of like what you got out of it for our listeners, since they're probably really want to know now.
Yeah. Grow and read. Whatever you've known how to do, obviously tone in on that, tighten it up, but you're going to have to grow. Because if you don't, AI is going to leave you behind. People, there's video on the Today Show. People are like, what is email? Like you have Katie Couric and other people like, email, I don't think I'm going to use this. You know, this is like in the mid 90s.
I
can tell you, you got to grow. This is, you got to incorporate AI. You got to improve upon yourself. You have to grow or you'll get left behind. Change is the only thing that's constant. So,
yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I bet everyone's like at the edge of their seat. Like what happened?
Okay. Next time we got to do another one.
Yeah, next time on the Concierge CPA. All right, y'all. Well, thanks again, Brandon. Everyone have a very blessed rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much. Namaste. All right. Take care.
I appreciate you listening all the way to the end. It truly means a lot. As a thank you, I'd love to give you a free gift, my value pricing calculator and proposal workbook. This tool has helped tax advisors create eight-figure tax plans and save over $1 billion for their clients. You can now download it at taxplaniq.com/ROI-method. Thank you for being part of this journey, and I'll see you next time on the Concierge CPA podcast. Take care, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.